is. Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing, Paul?
Bill, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yesterday, there was a lot to take away from that game, and then there was some same old to take away from that game. So give me your first impression after the Packers get the 34-20 win yesterday.
Well, I think they looked like, in a lot of respects, a different team. Atlanta, much like Green Bay, actually, is far too talented to have the record that they do, but they've been in the same position that Green Bay is this year. I think it probably makes you wonder about the job security in Atlanta, considering how far they've fallen since the Super Bowl that almost was for them, 2 years ago. I thought the Packers played extremely well, Bill. The final score makes it seem like it was a relatively close game, give or take. It was not. They came out, and really with the exception of that first Falcons offensive drive, where not only did Atlanta score, but the Packers used both of their timeouts and both of their challenges by losing both challenges, they looked great. I mean, they hit the three things that I was really looking for on a very broad scale, and I was just looking to see them look re-energized, refocused, re-motivated, and I think that's exactly what we saw. The offense was crisp. The defense had, mostly, I don't know how else you can say it, a pretty darn good day. Yeah, there was that opening drive, and they did give up some late scores, but none of that really mattered. So on a very kind of zoomed-out, thousand-foot view of this game yesterday, the Packers looked good. They kind of look like a team that makes you wonder where this group has been most of the year. And you can't grow. You can't. I don't want to use one game to say, an indictment on McCarthy and what would have been or what should have been. And if they only had fired him sooner, or I think one game doesn't prove that. But I think there's no question that Philbin had this team ready to go, that they were, that the players on individual levels as well as a group mentality had something to prove. And I mean, just, You did what you should have done. Yes, and Atlanta compared to an Arizona type team is obviously much more talented, despite having similar records. But you took care of a team you should take care of. But so many times this year you haven't beaten those teams, I came away extremely impressed, particularly with the first half. But again, it's okay when you can sometimes sleepwalk to victory in the second half. In the second half, because it tells you how well you played in the first half.
Aaron Rodgers looked to be enthused, energized. He looked to be a guy that three-step drops. He had, I don't want to harp on mechanics, but got into the pocket, and even though he was on the run at times, still was able to plan, throw, just looked good, looked like a different Aaron Rodgers.
He did. And I don't know how much of that is, emphasizing different points. There were still, some third down sacks. It seems like teams right now are really attacking the Packers offense on third down when with blitzes and other scheme stuff to try to get to Rodgers. But if you look at just the third down conversions overall yesterday, yes, there were the sack. Those continue to be a problem of sorts. Granted, the Packers were missing three of their starting offensive linemen. But if you look at their third down conversion percentage yesterday compared to pretty much all season, and especially in recent months, it was a lot better, and a lot of that does go to Aaron Rodgers. And I think a lot of it's fascinating, too, because it didn't look exactly, Bill, it wasn't like it was like a mirror image of the second half against Chicago in week one, where he was very injured and could pretty much just take a step and a half and make a quick throw. But it was, for the most part, quicker stuff. Now, he didn't put up, the big 400-yard game. I think, what did he finish with, 198 for passing yards, and his per pass attempt was still only like 6.1. It's like the interception thing. He could have thrown two picks.
Yeah. There were two right in the breadbasket they dropped.
Straight up drop. So how different does his stat line look, or how differently are we talking about the way Aaron Rodgers played if those two Falcons defensive players made plays that they should make, let's face it. But it looked better. And I think there seemed to be an emphasis on some of those finer points and on those quicker throws. And I think none of that shows itself as much as their conversions on third down. And that is a huge step in the right direction, because they were struggling on third down all year. They struggled inside the 35-yard line all year. And when you put up 34, and pretty much you do that in the first two and a half quarters, you did a lot of things right. And a lot of that, obviously, when the Packers are good, a lot of credit goes to Rodgers. When the Packers are bad, it's usually because Rodgers didn't play well enough. Yesterday, and not off the charts numbers or anything, and again, those two picks almost were, but they were led by Rodgers and by him having a strong performance. And what I'm curious now, Bill, is to see if that was, you know, a one-week thing, or if the offense over the course of the next three games to kind of prove out the final quarter of the season, if it's something that was a one-game type of thing, or if we really are already seeing, you know, maybe a different influence on the offense and how much that may or may not affect Rodgers positively or negatively for, you know, a four-game sample size as opposed to just a one-game sample size.
Did you like the way, I mean, one of the big arguments was, what was Joe Philbin doing challenging those plays early on in that ball game? Could it have cost him? Look, I thought both plays, and looking at the replay, I thought the officiating screwed it up.
Yeah.
I think, and the funny thing is I'm sitting next to D. Orlando Ledbetter, who was a longtime Journal Sentinel writer and now works down at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's sitting next to me along with a bunch of other Atlanta writers, and they're all thinking the officiating screwed up. I didn't have a problem with Joe Philbin throwing the red challenge flag.
Okay, so, Bill, I'm glad you said that, and I know there's people that disagree with that take. I am very much with you, and to the point where even the fact that he lost the challenges, I liked it. I liked that, and it was something that I don't know if you've seen the TV broadcast yet, too, but that they were talking about, where it was this maybe this message to his players, something where it was, you know, hey, I've got your back, Jair Alexander, because, of course, it was Alexander in pass protection or in pass coverage, you know, against Julio Jones on both of those plays. I liked it, Bill. And even on the second one, where I thought the first one, for sure, Julio Jones dropped that ball. That one, How you have that play stand, and I understand there needs to be conclusive evidence, but what are you watching?
Right.
That one I really don't understand. The second one, like, did the toe drag prior to hitting the white sideline chalk? 50-50. I guess I understand why that one stood. The first one, whatever. I think it's a moment. It's one of those odd rallying moments where you're the defense and you're like, all right, cool. You know, like, no, it sucks. You don't want to be, 88 seconds into the game and be out of two timeouts and not have any challenges left. But you know what, though? Watching it live, whether he got them both right, got them both wrong, they were both, in my opinion, especially the first one, for both of them, good challenges. I still don't really understand how the first one stood. And I applauded him. I applaud Joe Philbin for doing that. It set an odd, because it didn't work, right? It didn't work at all. Not only that, but then Atlanta scores. But I still felt it did something in a rallying cry type of, hey, let's use the term, a galvanizing type of moment.
Correct.
Maybe,
yes.
That had these players kind of feeling like this guy has our back. I really liked it. Even the fact that he lost both, I still applaud it.
Defensively speaking, I thought it was interesting. Jair Alexander gave up the early score to Julio Jones, and you thought, okay, this could be a long day because they're not giving him much help over the top. After that, he kind of settled in. He had a pretty decent day.
Oh, I thought he had a very good day against, obviously, an elite wide receiver. Yes, he gave up passes. Everybody does. But when you pretty much are going to have him shadow, and wherever Julio goes, Jair Alexander goes, and you're going to ask a rookie, I don't know, I don't care how good that rookie is, you're going to ask a rookie to have that matchup all day long, Julio's going to come away with some catches. That's just what's going to happen, especially when Matt Ryan was clearly looking to him. But like you said, without a lot of help on that side, without a lot of people paying attention to Julio Jones except for Jair Alexander, there was the one deep pass play that Alexander kind of celebrated and then did the hand-to-ear celebration type of thing that, if it was a better thrown ball, probably would have been a touchdown. You know, it's kind of like the two Rodgers interceptions that weren't. They don't look bad because they weren't caught. And, you know, Jair Alexander doesn't look bad because that pass was overthrown by Matt Ryan, and that could have been another long completion, but it wasn't. And football is a game of results, and so it's what if. Well, that's fine, but it didn't happen for the most part. And I think, Bill, there's so many things that I think need to be – that will be good for these players. Whether the Packers make the playoffs, 5% chance, or not, 95% chance, whether they do or don't, there's a lot of things that I think would be good for these players to experience in the final month of the season. And one of them is for young, superstar potential-type players like Jair Alexander – to get these kind of opportunities and to either, you know, drown or to be great or to maybe meet somewhere in the middle. And so I love that he was given that opportunity, and the fact that he held his own against someone like Julio Jones, I think is going to give him a lot of confidence and maybe be his own individual galvanizing type moment to kind of get some extra momentum. And, you know, he's a plenty confident guy, but that's got to make you, even a confident player like Jair Alexander has to kind of feel like, hey, I just held my own with Julio Jones. No one can keep up with me if I have a good day.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later in the week once we learn a little bit more about the upcoming game with the Bears and what see what Joe Philbin has to say. So we'll talk then, okay?
Hey, Bill, real quick, did you see the video that Jay Glazer tweeted that Mike McCarthy had sent him when Mike McCarthy came back last Wednesday?
When he was leaving his last kind of thing at Lambeau Field, so to speak. Yes, I did. I saw that.
When he walked through the tunnel and at night, and he kind of talked about the flag and how much it was a really cool moment. I'm really glad that McCarthy was willing to publicize that because I thought it was really neat.
Yep, no doubt about it. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
See you, Bill.
Talk to you soon. If you haven't seen it, Jay Glazer put that out there, and it's really... It's a guy that, put it this way, no matter what you want to think about Mike McCarthy, it's a guy that really appreciated where he was and the franchise that he worked for. It was really interesting. Paul joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.